for King. We bless your name because eternally you are faithful. There is none that can be compared with you. You are he that was dead and is alive forevermore. The Eheye, the Eshaya, the Eheye. I bow before thee this hour. And I ask, O God, that you swallow me up, that I be not seen, heard or known, but in all things, the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, will be glorified in your spirit. Have your way in the midst of your people. Touch us once more and redirect our lives. Transform us and make us your people to be proud of. Thank you, Papa. All praise and glory forever is yours. In Jesus' matchless name I pray. Can I hear a sounding amen? Hallelujah. You are too quick in sitting down. I'm standing, so I want you to join me in standing something. Praise the Lord. Some time ago, somebody questioned me, said, because everywhere I go, it doesn't matter where, the first thing I tell the people to do is to walk up to themselves and tell the person by your side, you are the best. Amen? So somebody said, why should I say things that are not in the Bible? I said, you don't read your Bible. Amen. Amen. Psalm 139 verse number 14, the word of God said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Simply put, there is none like you. Then in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, if you read 9, he said, you are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, you were nobody before, but now you are called the people of God. And when you look at things like that, you now begin to help the man who sang a song long ago. His name is Bongo Sikwe. He said, I'm searching for true love. I'll keep right on searching till I find. Nothing good comes. You understand the song? Some of you at least know the song. Praise the Lord. So please, do me a favor. Before you come back to your seat, walk up to at least 20 people. Look the person into the eyes and say to that person, I've been searching for the best, but my searching has stopped. You are the best. Can you just leave your seat and talk to somebody now? Tell him you are the best. If somebody says that to you without a smile, take away your hands. The person must be smiling while he's saying it to you. And then before you come back to your seat, go back to 20 people again. Tell that person you are fulfilling destiny. Amen. Now you may be seated. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I'm sure there is somebody sitting by your side. Just turn a little and look at that person. Tell him never. I'm glad you're sitting by my side. I'm sure you know that I love you. But please, after now, I don't know who you are. Be on your own. Stay by yourself. Don't talk to me. I will not talk to you. Don't distract me. I will not distract you. I don't know you after the flesh. But after now, love will continue. Bye-bye. Before I go to the summary of the message, I will first of all thank my elder brother and the other ministers. I want to thank you for this singular privilege of being here. I truly appreciate, and the awesome hospitality that I'm giving is not compared to anything. I am grateful and I thank you very much. And I pray that the Lord will continue to increase you both in the spirit and material things, and will keep you until the coming of his Son. Amen. Thank you very much. This morning, I'm doing it because it's pressed strongly in my heart to do it. And I know that that's exactly what he wants me to do. I went to bed this morning by some minutes after 6. That's why I came in late. By the way, I'm sorry. I came in late to church. Praise the Lord. There are a few people here I will want to pray with shortly before I go to the message. And I'll tell you this story, and then I will call the people. There was a woman somewhere in Delta State. I won't call the place. I won't call anybody's name. But the woman was a graduate of English and married a man who was a stark illiterate. And when he wanted to marry that man, the family refused, fought it with everything. But she said, no, that's the one God wants me to marry. And after all, the man was living in a house. Was that a house? A place, well, in a house, there is a staircase. Under the staircase, they use something like a plywood to carve out a room there. That's where he was living. And after their wedding, the sister followed him into the place. And she was walking, the man was doing some little business here and there, until sometime the man broke into millions and got into oil and began to make money. I mean, make money. Become so popular in this country that you won't play politics in Nigeria without involving him, not of talking about Delta State. He has so much money. But I remember that according to the story, the woman will fast 5 times in a week until she become like one pencil. And when the money began to come, she lifted her hands in praise of God, because that was what we were praying for. And the man bought land somewhere in Warede and built castles. Made so much money. After he built that house, he now looked at the wife that started life with him and took her to be one of the properties, one of the rubbish in the house, and relocated her to the boys' quarter and married a 19-year-old lady, Touchlight Eye lady, and brought her into the house because she's presentable. He can go to occasions with her, etc., etc. And relegated the woman to the background that the woman doesn't even see her husband again. But she was taking it well. To cut a long story short, sometime so many years back, the man had an accident in his convoy. They had a terrible accident that they had to take him to St. Nicholas Hospital in Lagos and kept him there until they prepared him to fly him outside the country. At the end of it, one eye was lost. He could not use it any longer. But they were searching for somebody that will donate his or her left eye that will match his own. And they searched everywhere and put on a price that if your own will match that of chief, because he has become a chief now, or a thief, I don't know, they sound alike. Praise the Lord. And they said, you'll get 20 million. Later they upped it to 25. Later they upped it to 35. Later they upped it to 45, until they came to 50. So if you come there by 4 a.m., you will be number 1,100 and something, because people lined up. And doctors were having busy day testing the eyes. And the woman now, who are now selling tomato and onions and pepper in one small market there, who nobody knew that he was the wife of that man, of the chief, one day some people came and said to her, who know her? I said, come, why don't you want to be a millionaire? You will be here suffering. Go, chief is looking for somebody that will donate an eye. Peradventure your own will match, and you become a millionaire. And he asked them what happened, then they told her. The following morning she went to the place and took her number. The long and short story was that at the end of it all, she got into the place, and when they tested her, her eyes was the one that matched with the chief's one. And she said that they will promise her that they will not force her to take the money. Of course, the story went on that they promised and signed that she will not be forced to take the money. Since she has made up her mind to be poor, let her remain poor. Well, she donated, and the chief was fleeing out of the country, and the eyes were in, and they started using it, and then it called a very big party. And the who is who in the country and out of the country were in that party, in his castle. And there was so much to eat and so much to drink. The bishops, the archbishops, the popes, every one of them, right reverend, left reverend, center reverend, every one of them were there. And then, when it was time for his testimony, he said that a witch, he gave a house behind the place, that he has been told that it's that witch that made him have the accident. And the bishop said he must come out to confess. And they went and brought her wearing a tattered dress. And when she came out to the place, she was begging them, let me not talk. Let me not talk. They insisted she must talk. You must confess. She took the microphone with a shaking hand, said to them, well, when they heard her English, they were shocked that such a person could speak like that. Said, well, unfortunately, the one who said that I was to kill is my husband, and I would not have wanted to kill him for any reason. And she, the summary was that she said, that the eye you say I used for my occultic practices is not true. The doctors took out this eye, and that's what the chief is using. And I refuse to collect money for it, because he is my husband. And I still love him as my husband. And look at me now, I am very close to the grave. And he still has a long life to live. So he needed the eye more than myself. So I gave it to him. And he looked at him. And they called him by his name that nobody knew him. And said to him, I have forgiven you everything. I love you still the way I loved you and followed you when you were nothing. And I want to say this love continues. My only prayer is this, that you do not be distracted by all that you have, so that I'll meet you again in heaven. She dropped the microphone and walked up from that place. Many people started getting up to walk away. And I want to say to you, if you look, I told you about Joseph yesterday. I didn't tell you about Stephen. I didn't tell you about Jesus Christ. There are many things out there to offend, to hurt you and hurt you deeply. I have been in such shoes. When friends and everywhere will desert you and you'll just be standing alone. You've not had experiences in the past. Jesus also had such an experience. And if you must be a Christian, Jesus said, if they hated me, they will also hate you. Some years ago, when I had a particular incident and it was like everybody was gone, I was driving to Owerri with one of my assistants, and on the way, a vehicle passed by. Pew! Very beautiful car. And I shouted, Kai! This car is beautiful. And we're just eulogizing the car. It was, you know, it dusted my car as though I was carrying a Beatles. Alright, the thing was going far. And all of a sudden, I heard the voice of my father. He said, son, do you know why you're talking about that car? I said, no. I said, yes, that car is beautiful. He said, was that the reason why you're talking about it? He said, yes, beautiful. And he said, keep quiet. Let me tell you the reason why you're talking about it. He says, because it's ahead of you. It's in front of you. I said, ahead of me? In front of me? Yes. He said, if the person driving that car had heard what you're saying and turned to look, what will happen? I didn't need him to tell me. I said, disaster. He will either die or get maimed. He said, good. Son, anytime and every time anybody says anything, let them go to CNN. Don't reply. Don't talk back. Keep on going. Don't look suckers. People that are talking about you, whether positive or negative, are dwelling on yesterday. And yesterday is gone and will never come back. So keep moving. Right there, I parked the car and came out of the car, lifted my hand, and I forgave everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. After I married my wife, we finished wedding. Not quite a month after the wedding, the news was everywhere that my wife was 3 months pregnant before the marriage. And my wife, innocent girl, a virgin. And when I heard that, I told them, I said, no, no problem. 3 + 6 = 9. So after 9 months now, she will deliver. Or will she cross that one? Well, fortunately or unfortunately, we stayed for 4 years, no child. We married 1991. My first son came June 6th, 1995. So all the people that did that disappeared. And it was somebody I trained from secondary school through to university that started the story. It wasn't long after we have gotten married, in the midst of this, of that, the former crisis, it was all over the place that I married a wife and I kept her somewhere in Awada and hired a flat that she has 3 children for me. I said, wow, please come and show me the person. I need the children, not the wife. I'm contented with this one. And I took my wife and we went to the woman who the husband is a chief from somewhere in Imo State. And I went and said, madam, please, where is the child now and their mother? Let me take the child. You can keep the woman. She turned to my wife. There were 3 of them that came and told my wife they can take her to the place. The next thing was, we told you it's a dream, that in a dream is something that might happen. My wife screamed, "What? Dream? You told me you can take me there." I looked at her. I said, "Baby, let's go home. God is teaching us some things. Now listen, if I had it in my heart against her, by now I would have been dead." Listen to me. When you are bearing grudges, when you are living a life that is loaded with bitterness and hatred, there is no way the presence of God can ever visit you. There is no way you can ever amount to anything. Every time you find yourself in such state, you'll be going down, down, down. And this morning, I want to use the exact word my father used. He said, "I should tell you, don't just forgive, but forgive from your heart." And there are a few people I want to pray with. These are people that were terribly hurt. It has lasted for some time, and it is impossible, in quotes, to forgive. You were hurt. You know, you were justified by that hurt. That every time you want to talk about it, you want to think about it, you justify yourself that you were right. Of course, you were right, and you are right, but you are going to hell. Therefore, this morning, forget about what you're wearing. Forget about what position you occupy here. Free yourself, and free whosoever it is. If you are ready to forgive, I am ready to pray with you just for 1 minute, and I will summarize my message and be gone, if you will only come out. I don't want you to wait until the first person has stood up and then you start jumping out everywhere. If you're here and you are deeply hurt, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody called you an idiot. I'm talking about somebody that is hurt. Maybe you married a man and he threw you out when he thinks that everything, maybe something happened and you were abandoned on the road. Maybe your father raped you. Maybe something terrible happens to you. Just step out here in 1 minute. When you come, you kneel down there and talk to God. And the only thing I want to hear from you is, God wants to hear from you, is that you are ready to forgive. I want you to forgive whoever. Call the person's name and tell the Lord, "I kneel before this altar and I forgive from my heart." If your heart wakes up to cry, just pour those tears there. Give it to him. But don't stand up from that place. Stay holding that grudge. And I want to bet you, before the expiration of this week, you will know that there is God in heaven who has spoken. There are three people that are still seated there. Please, can you come and join them here? Don't, you can't, you know, showmanship, you can't overcome it like that. It's by grace. And the grace is sufficient. Please, the other three people, please come and join us here. Please, I beg you. I think God understands more than us. Thank you.
Joy of your salvation, and renew our spirit within you. And renew our spirit within you.
Creating me anew. If I confess my unforgiveness, I will obtain mercy. So, Father, the God of all mercies, we stand before you. We kneel. We plead with your mercy for the same reason for which Jesus died on the cross. Pay the price for all our debts. Pay the price for all our sins. Pay the price for our shortcomings. Pay the price for all our insults to you. Took upon himself the form of flesh and died the death. Father, we come. Ask you, forgive us, cleanse us, create a new spirit within us. Remove the heart of unforgiveness and the heart of stone. And Father, replace it with your heart of love that is shed abroad in our hearts again in the name of Jesus. Father, even so be it with everyone here. Father, even so be it with everyone here. You're able to save to the uttermost. You're able to carry to the guttermost. You're able to deliver to the uttermost. You're able to wipe away the hurt. Father, we say, as we drop them here, let them remain away from us as a burden. Released to serve you in newness and a time of refreshing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we forgive. Father, we forgive. We forgive from our hearts. And Lord Almighty, release us. Set us free. And set the one for whom we have borne grudges free to serve you in holiness and sincerity all the days of our lives, in joy, in righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Even so, Lord, let it be and remain glorified, even for this work of grace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The last people I will pray for now before I preach and then summarize in prayers. You're here and you want God to heal your finances. Hold on. Like I said when I was preaching yesterday, there are people that where they are today is where they should be 7 years, 10 years back. And they are here today, marking time. And like we discussed yesterday when we came to that particular area, you find out that there are people here who made vows. Some of them made vows 3, 4, 5 years ago. And you know, God said, he that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. Psalm 15, verse 4c. God said, I hate covenant breakers, those that make pledges and they cannot pay. Malachi chapter 1, verse number 14, he said, cursed are those people. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 5, he said, I will destroy the works of your hands. This is the first set on this direction. And the second set are people that are here and you're not paying your tithe, or you pay sometimes and you don't pay. Half obedience is no obedience. I am sure about what I'm saying. I'm not guessing. Nobody told me, but I'm sure my father told me what to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. And if you're here, you are ready to repent, to do the right thing, as per the vows you made. As I'm talking, some of you here, the Holy Spirit will begin to remind you of those vows. You know why many marriages don't last? Because you will come to this lady and tell her you're going to marry her. And tomorrow you see another lady and the parents or the people seem to have money. You will abandon this one to go to the other one. That marriage you get into will never work. Amen? Amen? It's true. And the same thing with ladies. But let's leave that first. You make vows and you have not been able to fulfill the vows you made in the presence of God, because God is everywhere. And you are ready to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to make the things right. Give me the opportunity to do it again. And you have not been paying your tithe, or you pay sometimes and you don't pay sometimes. But pastor, I can't remember. Oh, don't worry, we will settle that. And you want to resolve this matter with God so that God can visit you and change your life. I don't pay 10% for over 5, 6, 7 years. I stopped this 10% issue because I'm not a Pharisee. You know the meaning of Pharisee? Too far to see. Sadducee, too sad to see. Let's, you go to my dictionary, you'll find it there. So these two sets of people, I will want you to rise from your feet. You know, many times we'll wait for the first person to get up, then we will, when others are coming, then we'll join them. It's only people that have genuine repentance that understand that this thing is not right. This thing is evil and it's killing me. Let people laugh. I don't care. Let them even laugh at you that you're going to your father than they are going to a native doctor's house. Can you imagine how many prophets you have visited? Jajawura people, kerosene and paraffin churches you have gone to in the name of Pentecostals, and they will lay hands on you, lay legs on you, nothing happens. They will collect even the one that is there. They will go and break covenant, you don't know how who joined. Everything you have done to make it work, it never works. It can't work. Proverbs 16 verse 7, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We are talking about holiness. And you cannot stay without paying your tithe and you say you're holy. Listen, you are cursed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, verse 9. You are cursed. That's what God says. And let God be true and every man a liar. So please, I don't want to spend more time because I've already taken some time on this issue. I want in the next 5 minutes to start with the message and crown off very shortly and run home. So if you're ready, please step out. If you're on the issue of vows, you stay this side. Issue of tithe, stay this side. Thank you. You don't need to kneel down. You just stand there. I'll tell you what to do. Tithe this way, vows the other way. If you're on both, you can divide yourself into two. And do that. You go back to your seat. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let me rebuke you. How do you expect the house of God to work when you are starving God? How do you expect God to bless you? How do you expect that? How do you expect to reap where you did not sow? How do you expect the miracles you're talking about? How do you expect peace, joy? How do you expect your prayer life to make sense? How do you expect to receive understanding from the scriptures when you read them? When you are walking in total obedience to God. I want to show you what disobedience is like. The Bible says it's a sin of witchcraft. And that's how terrible. You stand before God and you make a vow, and you don't pay that vow, you have no excuse. Not one single excuse why you will not pay that vow. I don't know the vows you made. I don't know what it is like. But hear this. If you are doing this from your heart, God Himself will honor it and will honor you. But you have to break it. Today is what date? What's today's date? 17 plus 21. Help me now. 38. That is from now till 38 is what? You don't have 38 in your calendar. So when is this month ending? 31st. 30. It's ending on 28. Okay, that means we have how many days now? How many days remaining from now? 11 days. 11 days. 11. 9 days. No, 9 days. Today is 17th. Okay, yes, 11 days. Okay, 11 plus 13. Okay, 24. No, it should be 11 plus 10. That's 21. That's 3 weeks, am I right? That by 10th of next month. So when you leave here, ask the Lord to help you to bring open all the vows you made. Write them down. Between now and 11th of next month, you are finished with it. If you are saying yes, stay back. If you are saying you can't do it, or you will not do it, leave God alone in this matter. What I mean by leave God alone is, accept you will do from your heart and see how it's going to come to be. But if you're not ready yet, please, can I excuse you to go back to your seat? Is anybody going back to the seat? Of you are this side also. All that He wants me to tell you is listen to your heart and hear what my spirit will tell you. By Sunday next week. If it means closing your account, if it means selling anything, but you're going to come with something that will represent what you have denied God. We call it a token. That's the language. Possibly, you have assessed yourself. You cannot get the true picture of what your tithe is. You're not salaried. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you can now see that the Holy Ghost will drop a word in your heart. This is what I want. Sometimes it could look bigger. Sometimes it can look very little. Depending on your heart, the state of your heart towards Him. And whatever He tells you, on Sunday when you come, please, He's here. He will make out 2 minutes within the service time and call you out with those envelopes in your hands. You are going to drop them and He's going to pray for you and you're going to be let loose. But bet me, you will know that there is God in heaven. Is that okay? The Lord bless you. Bye-bye. Every time you bring it, you write something there and write the balance. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Together? St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. I'll read 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read from verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have no charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is done, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Verse 13, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is. This morning, in line with what we are talking about, if you look at the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. You look at verse number 8, the first epistle of John, chapter 4. Look at verse 8, and we're going to read together. That's why I want everybody to be there. Are we ready? Let's read. 1, 2, go. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Again. Amen. That's the summary of God. Hallelujah. The summary of God, the summary of who He is love. And who is not, is there. When you talk about holiness, like we talked about, we say holiness is loving what God loves and hating what God hates. the character of God, the nature of God. But the personality of God is love. And if you don't have love, you can't live holy. Praise the name of the Lord. Holiness is something that comes because God is indwelling in you. So it comes out. It is natural that when you are possessed by a thing, you manifest the one that possesses you. When you are possessed by God, by the Spirit of God, you know what? You will manifest holiness. You will manifest righteousness. You will manifest purity. It will be, it flows. It's real. It's not, life is not struggle. Like I was talking yesterday, and I'm glad that the word of prophecy that came confirmed it on the issue of separation. And when our big brother was speaking, he mentioned, you know, about this vow thing. You don't know anything. I wish I have time to dwell on that a little, because people that do that thing they call vow, all right, they don't understand what they are getting themselves involved in. No, you don't understand at all. If you do, nobody will warn you not to. You are simply initiating yourself into something you may never be able to get out from. It has destroyed many marriages. It has destroyed many youths. It destroyed them, and many a times irreparably. And why will we not show the world how to live? Something that every time it is celebrated, it is immorality everywhere. I hope I can stand up from there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. When it is being celebrated, you see horrible things going on. Today, we have brought in the world to the church, but we cannot export the church to the world. And if we cannot separate, God cannot operate with us, nor within us. There is sanity here. There is sanity, at least where the women are. It's only we go to Pentecostals, then you understand what I'm saying. People will come to church, their heads will not be covered, the women, and they will bring out their breast and rub Vaseline on top of it, all right, and then expose themselves and make sure they shoot it out. They will sit on front seats, they will wear bikini, and come to church. But you see, there is no way on the planet Earth we can make it in this present time except we begin to come together in the unity of the body. Because the body grows by that which every part supplies. Ephesians 4 verse 16. The body grows by that which every part supplies. That means what God asks Cain, when God asks you the same question, will you respond positively or negatively? He says to Cain, where is thy brother Abel? He said, am I my brother's keeper? The question I want to ask you, are you your brother's keeper or are you your brother's killer? Because it will be terrible that you see the daughter of your friend or a member of this church. You see the daughter somewhere and it's not where she ought to be. And you keep quiet. Bible said, if you even your enemy, you see his ass or his donkey fell into a pit, will you not bring out that donkey for him? Now, talking about your friends. I went to Abuja. I was in Transcorp Hilton. Somebody put me in there. And when I got into the place, in the evening, I came down to go and pick some things. And I saw my friend's daughter with a person that is old enough to be the grandfather. Thank God he wouldn't tell me it's his uncle, because I know the man and I know her. And the man happened to be her father is a politician. This one, so they are in different parties and they don't agree. And when I saw her, I screamed. I said, what are you doing here? The man said, Pastor Tony. I said, just keep quiet. Where is your own daughter? I grabbed her on the shoulders. And while I'm dragging her out, I was calling the father. I said, if you don't send escorts to come and pick your daughter from here now, you will hear news. He said, which of them? I called the name. He said, where? I said, he's here with your friend. He said, which my friend? I told him. I said, come quickly, come and collect. I'm holding her here. You know I'm big, so my hand covered it. I held her strong. She was saying, uncle, he's paining me now. He's paining me now. I held her. Can you not, the mamas in the church, can you not see a lady who comes to church and the gown or the skirt is wearing is stopping here And you take her side and say, why now? Do you want to kill our brothers? Mama, Mama, won't you talk to us? Who will talk to us? Because you keep quiet, they felt what they're doing is right. But when one mama talks and another mama talks, the other mama, hey, but you know they don't hear. Have you spoken? When one, two, three persons speak, and that is the manifestation of the life of God in you, love, you speak in love. You take out your time to explain to that person that what he's doing is wrong. Sit the person down. There's a young lady in Onitsha, they know her, I won't call her name, but every morning, she will pass through Oka Road, go down, go up. And she doesn't wear anything in the inside, she wears a transparent thing, and she will be passing, waiting for who will do. And just to do that, even by error, she will come. And everybody was running away from her. One day I was coming out from my car, and look at her coming. And a voice said to me, did I not die for that one too? My heart jumped. I said in my heart, Lord, if I stop this one, what will people say? It's all right. Consider people's opinion and consider my own pains. So while she was coming, I called her. I said, hello. She turned and looked. She was surprised. Pastor, I said, please come. She said, me? I said, yes. I was smiling, but not good smile because it was not entering my heart. Then she was coming and was counting her steps, so I went to meet her. I brought out my hand and she said, please, can we go upstairs? He said, me? I said, yes. And she followed me upstairs. I didn't say anything about Jesus died on the cross or the other one. I just said to her, my dear, do you know that I love you? She opened her eyes and said, I love you. And I want you to help me in the areas where you help me, and I will help you in the areas where I can help you. She said, Pastor, do you know what you're saying? I said, yes. I said, do you know you're my sister? She said, I don't come from your place. I said, but you're still my sister. Are you not from Anambra State? She said, yes. And I began to talk to her. I didn't call the name of Jesus once. But this lady broke down and wept like anything. And could not go out from that place. We had to go and buy a new dress for her to wear, because her eyes were open and she saw how terrible she was looking. Today, she's the principal person in the church, going for evangelism, going after all these wayward girls who don't know what has befallen them, because they have mothers and fathers and they have people like you around them who can only criticize them and cannot go after them because love is gone. I looked at the book of Ezekiel, and quickly I want to look at it before I come back to what I read. The book of Ezekiel chapter 16, I saw something there and my heart broke. A long place I'm going to read from verse number 1. You will hear what God said concerning us and concerning his people Israel. You will see. Look at it. I won't wait for you. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination, and say, thus says the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth, thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in the water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of this unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the looting of thy people in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thy own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the broad of the field, and thou wast increased and waxing great, and thou hast come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Verse 8. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread out my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, said the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. You can read to 13 when you get home, but that's what God said. And that, when God is saying this, he bear in mind that he is in us. We are carriers of God. That this is the type of thing we will see, and we will want to put it right. We will look at somebody who is rotten, somebody who there is no hope in, and we will tell the person, leave, and we will become. Bible says, love covereth a multitude of iniquity. By this shall all men, not some men, not few men, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you belong to me. If you cast out demons, if you carry big size Bible, if you speak in tongues, if you heal the sick, if you raise the dead, know if there is love in you. Love between you. The reason why the church is not stagnant, is going down, is because love is gone. And when love is gone, it means that God is gone. There is so much animosity, so much gossip, so much slander. Brethren betraying brethren. Nobody will want to see the rise of the other. Somebody will come out to give a testimony of what the Lord has done for him. They say, The very day the church will rise up and take up this glory, you will see what, when the Bible said, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Then you will see the light of God in the house. And there will not be struggle for ministers to preach. Listen, holiness will become a way of life, not something that should be taught. The only way it can be taught to anybody who enters the church is by the way we live. He will see us. He will see the mingling. You can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can interpret tongues, you can cast out demons, you can raise the dead. I said on Friday that charismatics without character is equal to catastrophe. Jesus said on that day, I will tell you, walk out from me, ye that walk iniquity. I said to you that every blessing that is not based on God's word is a suspended disaster. Listen, there is no message by the grace of God. It is not possible to number the number of messages that God has helped me to preach in my life this short time I've been in the faith. But you know what? Every time he gives me the privilege, the opportunity to preach on this, I know that the people there have been walking. There is a work that is going on in their life that he wants to perfect. And I believe in my heart that there is something that is going on here silently. And I pray that you cue in. There is a work that is going on here silently. I'm not a visioner. But yesterday, I couldn't sleep until something past 6 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I was reading sometimes. I would just put my head on the pillow to pray. You know, I was on my knees. And I would drift up and certain things will happen. The type of blessings that is going to come upon this local assembly is something that will noise around. Not just in Enugu. It will noise around all over the place. You will hear it. I'm not asking you to believe me, but you will see. If you want to bet, come and bet. Because a silent work is going on. And only the people that will queue into this work will know that there is God in heaven. 2001, he said to me, son, stop praying. I am looking for somebody I can trust to show the world what it means to be wealthy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I said, what? He said, I'm still looking for one. Go and check, sir. Most of the believers will be praying, fasting. They will be in church before everybody and asking God to give them money. When God gives them 100 million, you will see them again. And yet 100 million is just a change. Somebody say change. Change that you can give somebody when you buy something from Mr. Biggs. Look at Dangote. When this flood issue was on, federal government were bringing out 1 point something billion, and before you expect Jack Robinson, he has already shared to different communities, is it 4 or 5 point something billion? More than what federal government was giving. Hello? Hello? They went to Cotonou. They had no good mosque, and they were contributing money on how to build mosque. He went and broke down the one they were building and built a state of the art mosque, furnished it, equipped it, and went his way. He didn't even go there one day. Not even the day they were, in quotes, dedicating the place. God is searching out for people that are sold out. And you know what? If you are not dead, God can't use you. What did I say? Come on, speak out now. Talk to me. If you are not dead, He can't use you. You must be dead to the world. You must be dead to sin. You must be dead to Satan. Listen to the voices of the world. You must die. Paul said, I die daily. You must, if you want to sing the song that when you are singing here, people there will be coming out to answer altar call. You must be dead. I spoke to the choir in the church where we are. And they went out, I think 3 nights or so, to go to pray. And God pushed them and did something to them. And when they came out on a Sunday to sing, they were singing a familiar song. Now only you I know, even if the world no say so, I go let them know. Everywhere I go, even times when I fall, you catch me, you raise me, you know throw me. I don't know if any other person go fit love me like the way you love me. Oh, Baba, oh, Daddy, because you love me so, now only you I know.
They were singing the song, no other addition. People were weeping in the church. Sinners were coming out to answer altar call without any preaching. People were getting healed. A woman that walks like this to church started dancing all over the place. Her system were mended because a people has sanctified themselves, giving themselves up to God, and God used them.
God is looking for a man, not men. God is looking for people that can volunteer themselves and make up their mind, take a decision. No matter what, I choose to love. Let me tell you something. By the grace of this great God of heaven, who looked down upon his majestic throne and picked me from where nobody can pick me. You don't know where he picked me from. I was useless. I was. Is there anything more than useless? Huh? I was useless. At the age of 15, I became evil. Women is nothing. That one is small thing. I started drinking beer, and the beer I drank then was Golda, Igolida. That's the meaning. Amen. I will keep a carton and drink it, and when it is finished, I will kick it out and stand up and walk away as though nothing happened. When I graduated in drinking beer, I switched over and started drinking rum. I will take a bottle, and since I sat down here, I will finish it and drop the bottle there and still be discussing with you as though nothing happened. When it seems as if it's not doing anything, somebody introduced a particular capsule. They call it Madras. Most of the American people, you know it. I will take 2 capsules of it and put it inside rum and shake it very well and gulp it down. Hello? I became the chief talk of Jim Wobodo when I was 19 years. And he sent his son, Ifani, and the daughter overseas to go and read. Me, I was doing talk here. Me and Nick and Morgan and the rest of them. Mommy Lawson. I was there. 19, 20, 21, 23, 22. I think it was at the age of 23 that Ono came in and then the military came and we're all dispersed. And I went back to play football. I was playing. You know, at a stage, my parents called me, my father called me, my own father, my own biological father and mother. They sat down and said, I should sit down. I sat down, they said, change your name. Go and pick whatever you have there and leave my house. I was staying at number 19, Ogui Road, Metropole Hotel. The owner is Dan Jidofo. Go and ask him, he's alive. He's from is it Alo? The Owele of Alo. Go and ask him, he's still alive, I'm sure. That's where I was staying. I had a permanent place there. And government was paying. Can you imagine a small boy like me, government paying what he was spending? I wish you can know what I spend every day. And I was doing talk for them. And you know, when you talk about youth wing, it's not anything youth. It's just all about talk. There is nothing else. The only thing was that God saved me that I didn't smoke cigar, no Igbo.
If I had gone into that one, I would be smoking in pots. Because my guys, my security people, they will carry a small pot and connect pipe to it. And then they will smoke. And not one smoke will come out from their nose. They will swallow everything. Some of them, even in the politics, some of them died in robbery. I would have died in the same plane crash that killed Osemwale and the children and their mates and the rest of the people. I would have died at Mo Junction, where we fought with Ikemba front, with Ikemba himself being at the forefront with his red jeep, Mercedes jeep. I would have died there. They said I was carrying juju. Not true. Not APC. I didn't have anything. But I didn't know why God was keeping me. No, I don't understand it, Lord. No, I don't. And I can't understand it. But he just kept me and kept me. That's the reason why nobody can convince me to leave him. Nobody. My own parents, they turned me out. Sent me out to the dogs. But he accepted me in spite of all that. And when I came into the church, I repented in the full gospel. I joined them there. And I thought life has begun. I didn't know it was all about politics. You won't say the truth there. Because people can come anyhow and go anyhow. In some places, not all the places. Look, I say anything. I say things I will say. And God knows I say the truth. I confronted them at Ibadan, Premier Hotel. And I said to them, is this full gospel or fool's gospel? Tell me! The river was there. Okomago was there. All of them, they were there. I asked the question. I was still a small boy. I didn't know much. I said, if this is full gospel, let's preach the whole. Let's not tell women to come in here anyhow and go out anyhow. Let's not allow people who are in the Sabbath to be in the ESCO. That's when they met a man who is a transporter, AC transport, made him be in the Sabbath, and yet he's in the ESCO. I said, no, we have to change it. Thank God for Papambata. And piam, I was removed. I joined Daniel's International Kiola. That's my life, I'm telling you, my life story. I came into Daniel's. There I did something that was not right. I was thrown out. Left in 22 months and 2 days. I stayed without anybody. Before God put it in my heart, I started going into remote places. I will buy drugs. I will sell properties to buy drugs. And Gideon Ilechukwu, a few of them, I forget some of their name, is now, I think he's in London now. Some of them will come with other nurses and, you know, will go into the village and they'll come there, give them free medical treatment. My job is why they are doing that. We're preaching. I enjoy that a lot. That's the only thing you can give me. Keep your food. And we continue and we started this work. Listen to me. If love, and that is God, doesn't return back to the church will rapture. Hello? The church will rapture. While they are in service, the church will go and the church will be on. A lot of people who are professing to be Christians, you will discover that you have not done anything. Go and take your Bible and look at the word of God. You will see that Genesis to Revelation, the summary is L-O-V-E. That's the summary. Why will you not love? Can you tell me the reason why you can't love me? Because I'm not fair like you? Because I don't come from the same town with you? Then you make an error because you won't be in heaven. A man died, a very great man of God, who has a big church. He died and went to heaven. When he came to the gate of heaven, he saw the angel, according to the story. And he said to the angel, he came open, he said, come in. He said, yes, before I come in, where are the members of my church who have died and come to heaven? He said, which church is that? He called the name of the church, he said, they are not here. The man said, what? So all these things I've been preaching to justify that it was not him alone. He said, what of this church? He said, it's not there. And this one, uncle, he said, it's not there. The other church, uncle, he said, it's not there. The man said, what? Whose voices am I hearing? Who are the people inside there? Which church are they? He said, no. It's not all about denominations. They are the people that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, who live the life of the Lamb. Listen. When you allow love that is in you already as born again child of God, Romans chapter 5 verse 5, if you allow love to manifest in you, listen, everything that is called God will be unveiled in you and through you. You will become the light the world will see. Love is the principal thing. It's everything, hope, faith will go. But there is one that will abide forever because it's God. in the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses came, Elijah came, and Jesus was there. Bible said, when they were talking, Peter said, it is time to build three tabernacles. And the cloud came. And in the midst of the cloud, they had a voice. This is my beloved son, hear you him. And the cloud gave way. They saw only Jesus. Somebody say, only Jesus. And Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. And God wants you to love everybody, especially those that are in the household of faith. Bible wants us to be united so we can do exploits for him. How pleasant and how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron down to his beard, down to the tips of the skirt. And it concludes by saying, for there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 133 verse 1 to 3. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 12, Bible says two is better than one. If he says this one is falling, the other one will help him. The reason why we are here in this under this place is not just to identify as chapel of his resurrection. No, it is to identify as a body, come together to help ourselves to grow and be a better people for him and for the generation. If I will dare ask you, if it's not just your colleagues who are doctors or lawyers or architects, put them aside. Who else do you visit? So, do you know one day, I embarrassed myself. I went to visit a dear sister that comes to church every other time, punctual. But I discovered that she wears only two dresses. I said, let me go and know where she comes from. One day she was going. I followed her with my car. She didn't know I was coming. When we got to a place, she now branched in. I didn't see the road that my car will pass to the place, so I parked. And I started following. And she climbed, came to a place that looks like a booth, but there are bashas in all those scattered all over the place. And I waited. So what? Maybe she's come to visit somebody or something, or gone for evangelism. I waited 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I didn't see her. But I saw where she entered. 35 minutes, 40 minutes. I went to my car, pulled up the glasses, locked the car, and came out, and went to the place. I knocked on the door. Somebody was singing. I remember the song she was singing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heirs of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my story. She was just singing and singing and singing. I knocked on the door. He said, yes, come in. I was singing the song. And when I opened what was called a door, I looked at her. She saw me and shouted, hey, daddy. I said, what are you doing here? He said, that's where I live. And she has put blocks, about four or so, and put a plank on top of it. That's her chair. That's her bed. And when I came in, the person that when I'm preaching, I'm shouting about tithe and offering. You know, if you don't bring your offering, this one. I saw that she was just drinking gari. Mama, gari without sugar. Gari without sugar. And I said to her, it's like, you know I'm hungry. She said, oh, daddy, will you? I took the spoon. I'll carry one. I'll leave it, she will take. Then I will wait for her to take a second one. She will wait for me to take a second one. I said, take now. She said, no, take now. And I'll take. She will take. On the third one, I broke down. I wept. I said, pack your things here. And we packed the few things. I said, leave the rest. Let somebody else who will occupy here take over. Went back to my car, drove back to the office. I said, wait. We started going everywhere until we came to Newey Street and found a room there. Quickly furnished the place, painted it. I moved her in, paid for 2 years, then found a job somewhere where they started paying her 20,000 naira at least for a start, so that we can get something better. And you know what? She went and brought her mother, brought her sisters, and all of them were living in that one room. Because if you go to where the mother and the brother and the siblings were living in the village, that's another story altogether. But today, that young lady has built a house for the parents. And the younger one, she's training them in school because her faithfulness drew God's attention. And God gave her a man after his heart who sees the mother as his own mother. Oh, yes. God said, let it be an abomination unto me if I do not honor those that honor me. When you bring out your heart to walk with him, when you take a decision to live to please him, hear me, church, you will be celebrated. You didn't hear me. I said you will be celebrated. But it takes a choice. It's a choice. It's when you take that, you make that choice and take that decision and determine to follow it through. Oh, you know what? It doesn't matter what you do to me now. All you can get out from me is tears. You can't make me be bitter with you. You can't make me speak evil of you. No, you can't. And I will never give you a reason to distrust me intentionally. I'm not perfect. I'm still praying that God will do some things in my life, and he's doing it. But you know what? The only way we can have a lot of people in heaven is when we make a choice to walk and live in love. That is the life of God. I'm summarizing it. But hear this. If you don't live in love, you can't be loved. And you know what? It's impossible for you to receive what you don't have or what you don't give. How many people did you visit this week? How many people did you visit? You were busy. There are two things the devil has achieved. Number one, he has achieved making us too busy to read our Bibles, too busy to visit our brethren. By visitation, you can stop somebody that is sinning without knowing it. Because he doesn't know who is going to come again. And he doesn't know when they will come. Number two, by visiting, you will discover that there is so much that God can achieve through you in lives. How many of you in position of authority will be there and there is a vacancy coming out and you're looking for the brethren? You will run and say, please, sir, are there people that are looking for job? Come to my office, you will see piles of CVs. This year alone, by the grace of God, I think about 30-something people have been able to get good jobs for them. Amen? Amen? If I travel to Abuja now, and they hear that I'm coming to Abuja, I won't pay anything. I won't pay anything in the hotel. They will be struggling on who is going to pay. They struggle on who are going to pay my children's school fees. Sometime in December, after the widow's program, my wife said, darling, our rice has finished. I said, praise the Lord. He said, I know that's what he will say. I said, he said in everything we should give him thanks now. It's okay, we're giving him thanks. What do we eat? I said, food. And while we are talking, there was somebody was honing at the gate. And they opened the gate, they came out. They brought 5 bags of rice at a time. I said, baby, come and go and sell rice, you know. Say, he said, where is it? I said, come. She came, he puts her hand in it. He said, hey. Oh, do you know what? God is not just faithful. Faithfulness is the nature of God. You know, one day, Mama, one day I was crying that there was no food in the house. Mama, do you know what he did? Because for 11 days we didn't have food. We were eating indomie, me and my children. Okay, it's not long. I think either last year, last 2 years. And then he opened my eyes. He said, son, can you see those ants? Yeah. I said, oh, can you look at ants? Okay, I've seen the ants. He said to me, who feeds them? My heart skipped. It was then it dawned on me that ants eat. Amen? And then while we were still talking, I saw other line of ants. Some of them were carrying blackish something. Some of them were carrying whitish something. Some of them brownish something. And the word dropped in my heart. Protein, iron, vitamins. These are the things they are carrying. So they eat their complete diet. I stood up from the place. I said, Daddy, thank you. You can take care of me. The love you have for the people, love is a giver. If you look at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, 1 to 4, it's about Jonathan. Bible said, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And he took everything he had and gave. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Can I hear an amen? Love is not selfish. Love is not self-centered. Love is extravagantly a giver. Nothing remains. In fact, the next name to love is Omekozodi. That was why when God placed a demand on Abraham, give me your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. He didn't ask question. It took 3 days to get to the mountain. When he got there, he tied him and offered him. God offered himself. God offered God, that ram that was slain, that same spot, that's where Jesus was crucified. Gentlemen and ladies, love is the principal thing. That is the identity of any believer. That's how the world will know us, not by noise making. That's why you will print your posters and nobody comes. Because they come with malaria and go with cancer. With all the lies we tell from the pulpit. The only way people can genuinely receive the healing touch of God is when the heart of the people are open to love one another. He said, as I have loved you, so love you one another. Praise the Lord. My time is up, but listen. The only people you will see in heaven are not people here. There are other people scattered somewhere. I was discussing with a servant of God, and he told me how they went to a place, and while they were taking offering, somebody came and put in 2 pieces of granite, and that was all she can give, with joy. I smiled. I remember the widow's mite. If we begin to walk in love, nobody here will go hungry. What did I say? Nobody here will go hungry, because when you are praying, God will put it in your heart. In your heart, this heart. That somebody there, so and so person is not eating. If there's any blessing God has blessed me, if there are 100 people in the church where we pastor, I know the names of at least 90 of them. And when you are not in church, I know you are not in church, and I will call you, why were you not in church? We must identify with ourselves. Hey, pastor, supposing if he does something wrong, PDP have finished the money in Nigeria, and every time they say it is family business. It is family affair. They don't expose themselves. Look at a particular church in Nigeria, a big church. The archbishop was sleeping with young boys 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, 15 years. And when he came in the open, people screamed. They took him and sent him to their international, national, world headquarters and promoted him and put him to another place. Hello? Pastor, is that right? No, it's not right. But when your brother is wrong, there is something to do. Take him aside and help him. Bible says if a brother is found with a fault, it's not the time to scandalize him and destroy him and bury him alive. Something stronger than him, something greater than him has come upon him. And you must help. If you don't help, one day it will come on you. A man, 63 years old, in a particular Pentecostal church that is very popular. A young pastor in his church fell into the sin of immorality. And when he was disciplining him, he said, before I married, I never touched any woman. And in fact, since I married this, my wife, I've never slept with any woman. It's this one is evil. This one is evil. No grace in what he was doing. And he said, send him out of the church. The young man was crying and begging that he be not sent out. Well, they threw him out. I caught him on the way. He's still an usher in the church today, where I pastor. Fantastic brother. But you know what? 2 weeks after that, that man of God, with all the anointing, slept with a 15-year-old girl, his house help, and came open in the church. He's no more pastoring today. The same thing happened to Jimmy Swaggart. He said that Jim Baker is a cancer that should be ostracized from the body. It wasn't long, his name came out on CNN. He that thinketh his standard should take it, lest he fall. Bear ye one another's burden that you fulfill the laws of Christ. What build the church that is the foundation of the church today is Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. From 40 to 47. From 32 to 37. If you read that, you will discover they had all things common. People were selling land and bringing to the priest to share to the people. But here, we will buy everything in the whole world. And when you talk about rapture, they say, forget it. Nobody believes that rapture is going to happen. But you know what? Whether you believe it or not, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are his. And I want to tell you, whether you like it or yes, he that will come, and will not tarry. Maranatha! He will come. If it is only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You know, one thing about certificates, and I wish God would give me time to go back to school. But you know what? your children cannot be difficult. He's a doctor, but none of his children, if God calls him home today, if he carries it to any office that he wants to work with it, he will go to jail 7 years. Hello? Hello? That's the uselessness of it. But there is something you will carry forever. The best life you can ever live is the life you live for somebody else. That's the best life, because that's the life that continues when you are gone. But the one you live for yourself, the day you die, you occupy your one room and one parlor, your casket, and you have and the place where they bury you, and that's the end of it. That's the end. What shall it profit you that you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, precious soul? Some years ago, I went to the American Embassy to collect visa, and they asked me to go and bring certificate of ordination. I said, which one? I said, I don't have certificate. Oh. They say, well, I should take my passport and go. And by the way, what of your bank account, your bank statement? I say it's there, but they say there is no money there. I say, did I ask you to pay for my flight? Or did I ask you to pay for my hotel accommodation? Or you want me to go and forge one and bring it? Give me my passport. I don't want to go again. Give me. She said, wait now. I said, give me. Give me my passport. I collected it, put it in my pocket and walked away. I didn't go again. 2 years, I didn't go. But now, I go to any country I want, and I don't go to their embassies. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't. My assistant is there asking. On Wednesday, I'm traveling again. It will have been this week. Those things don't make sense. What makes sense is God in you, the hope of glory. And how do we know God in you? By their fruit, we will know them. What are those fruits? When you manifest the life and the character of God. And what is the life and character of God? Holiness. God, love, manifesting Him. Holiness! And it must be clearly stated. It will be engraven. Anybody that sees you will note that this one is from the Lord. Amen? Amen? Hey, sorry. Let's go. But before we go, I want to beg you. There are some people that did not come out. If there is anybody here or anywhere, whether your husband, I know a family, a couple, they've been married for about 11 years and they went to court and divorced themselves. This one an engineer, the other one a doctor, a lawyer. And they divorced. And they've been apart for 13 years or 14 years. I went to preach in the Redeemed in Lagos, in Lupages. And when I finished preaching and spoke on forgiveness, the lady came to me and said, I've divorced him. Is it possible to go back again? I said, can I see the divorce certificate? He said, she will bring it. I said, if you're bringing it, pray very well that God led you to bring it. And she brought it to the hotel. I tore it into shreds. I said, go and tell the judge that I tore it. He should give you another one. Or do you still want another one? She said, no. I said, you can go back to your husband. She said, we divorced. I said, that's according to the court, not according to God. Court never wedded you. God brought you together. And what God has brought together, let no man put asunder. So some people that think they will have a way of escape by going to court to go and divorce, you're going to hell. You won't like this. Because I know you're all bukuru people. Hell! He. Because his way is the way of holiness. Highway of holiness. How can you be bitter against a man you have slept with all your life, 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, and then you find a reason to divorce him? God said, I hate divorce. Q.E.D. Malachi. And then some young ladies now don't get married because they say, people that are married, don't see, I saw what my mama suffered in the hands of my father, so I don't want to get married, but you stay in the house and have children. The first one, mistake. Second one, mistake. Third one, mistake. Your name is mistake. You are a mistake on earth. And when you die, you head to hell because you are a prostitute. How can you, a young lady, take yourself and go naked before a man that is not your husband? How can you? Are you okay? Are you alright? That man is saying you're good for a girlfriend, you're not good for a wife. When he wants to marry you, go and marry somebody else. And you leave yourself naked before the man. That's a silly thing to do. If he wants to marry you, let him go and see your pastor. And see your parents. Take you to the altar. until you go to the altar, that man doesn't see your nakedness. If you wouldn't wait until the altar, let him fly away. It's better for you not to get married. Because marriage is honorable in all. With bed on the fire, but who among us? God will punish. Hello? Am I still your friend? You can write petition against me, no problem. But let me finish this when I come. And that's the reason why things happen. That's the reason why we cannot be decent. Sorry, let us pray. Bow your heads in prayer. Having said all this, I want to tell you that the one that is called love, he still loves you. And you know what? He wants to fellowship with you. The word fellowship is not the right word for it. It's called koinonia in Greek. Or Hebrew, sorry. And koinonia means intercourse. He wants to have deep fellowship with you. That's what he wants to have with you. He wants you to be a son. He wants you to be a daughter. It pleases his heart to come. Look at Adam. In the cool of the evening, he will come down to have fellowship with Adam and Eve until they sinned. Sin is the only reason why he cannot have fellowship with us. But we can mend our ways today. We can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Daddy, receive me again. Oh, yes, he will. The prodigal son came back and took back his full position in the house. You too can. I want you to talk to him. Just remember this. He is not your God. He is your father. He is a God to the people out there. But Papa, to those that are in here. I want you to talk to him. Look into his eyes and say, Daddy, I love you. You're awesome. And all my life, I will worship you. And I will live for you. I demand for that grace that will enable me to be the best you want me to be to my generation and to you. From today, I take a decision to live the life of holiness. I know I cannot do this on my own because it's not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. I ask that you supply me immeasurably with your spirit that will enable me to live this life. It's precious. More precious than gold. If you're here this morning and you have not given your life to Jesus, my beloved brother, my beloved sister, you saw the little testimony I gave you concerning my life. Sincerely yours. I was worthless, useless, hopeless, rotten. But he that can do something...